Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Speak into our lives, God. I pray that whatever weight we walked in with this morning, we can take that off and lay it at your feet, God. I pray that you will move in a mighty way. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Very good. I want to give you, I guess it's kind of a pseudo title, but also a direction of where we're going today in a sentence, okay? In a sentence. Wherever there is love, there is responsibility. Wherever there is love, there is responsibility. And so we're going to unpack that a lot today and talk about what that looks like. But I can remember one of the first times in my life. Some of you may have heard this story before. My birthday's this week. Hey, right? So in my old age, sometimes I forget stuff, you know. So, I hear y'all giggling. Okay. Age is rolling, right? Okay, here we go. I'm distracted. And I remember for the first time, one of the times I felt this weight really of like, wow, okay, here it is. Here's some responsibility. And I can remember my wife and I got married about 10 years ago, and we move in, of course, in our house. We didn't have kids then, right? And we had a lot of time. And so we get to the house, and it gets dark. You lock all the doors, right, trying to be safe. And then you lay in the bed, and then all of a sudden, you hear somebody knock on the door. And it's like, wow, okay, it's like 11 o'clock at night. Like, what's happening? Like, why is somebody knocking on the door? This is, you know, 2010 or whatever time it is. Like, people don't knock on the door anymore. Like, what's going on? You're supposed to call me first. And knocking on the door and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to go to the door? Right? Like it is, oh. And I'm like looking around thinking like, there's nobody else here but me. Amanda, you ready to go to the door? Right? Like, no, I'm just kidding. But you just think about that, right? And for the first time, I was like, okay, this is on me now, right? Like, it was this one little step of going, okay, I'm the first one that's going to go check out all these noises. I'm going to go out in the yard first. I'm going to answer the door first. And all of this, it was like the responsibility shifted a little bit. And I remember feeling that for one of the first times when I realized, like, okay, things are going to be a little different now because I made a commitment to say, hey, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm walking with you. And with that came responsibility, right? I mean, even past that, if you think about once, well, if you have kids and what that picture looks like and you say, hey, I have now, I'm going to give my love to you. But now because I love you, there is a responsibility for me to walk with you in this journey. Or maybe you got a friend that draws really close to you. And now it's like, okay, we're close. We're not just like acquaintances. Now we are friends, right? Like, and you would hope that there comes some responsibility on both ends to go, hey, we're close. We're friends. We're going to be there for each other. And love and brings this anticipation and this responsibility to have some action associated with that. And I'm so glad I'm looking at this series and looking at this text because Jesus models this for us. He shows us this picture. Because if you're like me, I can begin to think about the weight of the responsibility that I have on my shoulders, and it can be heavy, right? It can be heavy to go, can I really go forward with this? Can I even make it? Can I have this decision? And even as a church, we say, you know what? We love the Low Country. We love this community. We want to be there for them. We want to walk with them every step of the way. But with that expression comes responsibility, right? Like, okay, now there's a point in time where we just can't say that, where we move into that. But a lot of times we begin to think and say, well, what does that actually even look like? And how do I even get started in that? I know God loves me. He fills me up. He works through me. But how does this flesh out in my daily walk with Christ? And so today, Jesus, He actually teaches this, and it's an incredible way that he teaches because he uses parables and stories to teach all the time. And so he's telling these parables here in Matthew chapter 25, and he actually tells three parables in Matthew chapter 25, boom, 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 back to back to back. And we're going to talk about the middle one, parable of the talents. And but he starts this off because in Matthew chapter 24, his disciples ask him a question. Kind of a strange question that a lot of people don't talk about, but they say, hey, how do we know what's going to happen in the end of times? They ask them that question. And so Jesus goes and immediately starts telling stories and bringing these parables together to teach this. And he tells one story about 10 virgins who go out and they have their lanterns. You can go back and read that. But basically, long story short, Jesus is teaching and saying, hey, you don't want to miss the celebration. You don't want to miss the second coming. You don't want to miss this thing. Be ready. Be watchful. And then he goes into the next story about the parable of talents, which we'll break down today. And basically he's saying, hey, don't waste the opportunities that you have here on this earth. Don't waste the opportunities that you have here on this earth. And then the third one, he talks a little bit about sheep and goats. Kind of crazy, I know, but Jesus is a great teacher. He begins teaching sheep and goats, and then he says, hey, while you're doing that, I want you to demonstrate your love for those who are far from me. Like, don't forget those who are not just in the body of Christ, but also those who are outside of that, who need my love, who need my grace. Don't forget about those people as well, to bring those into community. And so he teaches that, boom, 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 all the way through. And so today we're going to look at that middle one, the parable of the talent. So I encourage you to go back and read that. It's very interesting, and Jesus teaches that. But today we're going to break it down. And I'm one of those people, I don't know, that's just the reason God wired me, but I always want to know why. I always kind of want to know the end result first. Maybe it's because I'm a millennial. If you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about that. Millennials like to see the end result and then come back and work through it again. But I always want to know, like, why are we doing this? What's the bottom line for this if I'm having a job, if I'm having a task? And so I love this because it's almost like Jesus goes, you want to know why love does? You want to know why I want you to love those around you? Let's think about the end result, and then let's work our way back. And this is what Jesus does. He says, hey, This is the picture of the end. And when we work back, I want you to experience the life that you have here on earth as God has called us to. And so we're going to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14. You guys still with me? Very good. We're going to actually stop a couple of times and then read the last portion all together. But I'm going to start here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey. So remember, he's answering that question. He's teaching this parable, and he goes back and says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. If you have your highlights or underline right there, highlight that, his property. I just want to stop there for a second because that's so easy to skip over when Jesus is setting this up. He's saying, for it is like a man going on a journey, and then he's getting ready to leave. He calls all his servants together and says, hey, I'm getting ready to go on a journey. Here is everything that I'm giving you. I'm assigning you some resources here for you to place in your hands. And I believe that is huge for you and I to remember that God is saying, hey, I came on this earth. I died on the cross to set you free, and in that freedom, I'm giving you gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit working inside of you, and I'm giving you resources, I'm giving you talents, and I'm going to place those in your hand. And for us to step back and remember that everything that we have is God's. And actually, we're going to look at this later if you're down the road, but if you look in the book of James, it says every good gift is from God. And that God has blessed us with that opportunity, blessed us with life, blessed us with what is in front of us. And for you and I to remember the stage that everything that we have in this life is because God placed it there, and he moved and worked and allowed those resources to come together. And so you and I, with that though, with that love, right, with that responsibility, becomes the action that must come forth in it, and that you and I are now stewards of what God has given us. That he's placed that in his hands. Get this, think about this. This is so good right here. Because he's placed it in your hands because he believes you have the potential to do something incredible with it. He didn't place it in your hands and go, hey, good luck, right? Like, I hope you do well. But what he's placed it in your hands, and he's saying, once you move into the son and daughtership of the Most High, I'm placing this resources. Because if you live for my glory, you will experience a life of abundance. You will experience a life of peace and grace and rest, because you are not just bringing it all in and saying, mine, 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 right? Like, this is all mine. You're saying, no, God, this is your resources. Teach me to do what you have called me to do and the way you've called me to live. Help me to be a steward of what you have given me. And you see, I grew up in, I didn't have a lot of money growing up, and I started working at the age of like 15, and because I realized there was opportunity to make money, and to have all these resources with me. And so you kind of get that taste of that first paycheck, right? And you're like, yes, like, here we go. I'm going to get, and I got to confess, I had some speakers in my car and all those things. That's why I got bad hearing now. But like, all these things begin to happen. Resource begins to flow in, but there's this mentality. I believe it's the nature inside of us. It's almost survival, right? Like, this is mine. Like, okay, I'm making a little extra now. I have a lot of resources. I got some talents now. Like, this is mine, God. Like, nobody, get away from us, right? Like it's all the survival mindset of bringing this together. God, I just need to sit on it. But God is saying, hey, I want you to realize that you were given that. You were given that to steward it for my glory, and I trust you to use it. And if you remember who I am, you'll be able to allow what I have given you to flow through you. So we're going on to verse 2 here. That's only one verse. See, it's true. Verse 15, moving on, it says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. So he says, he got all the servants together, and he says, okay, I'm going to line you up. You get 1 talent. So if you think about this parable, you could look, actually some translation call it shekels. Even more modern translations calls it gold. If you were to get even more modern translations, you would call it money, right? Like, I'm giving you a specific amount of money. And if you were to trace some of this back to even modern translations, they would even say some of this would be like handing somebody $1 million. You know, so a lot of responsibility. So you get one person, he goes to one servant and says, hey, I want to give you 1 shekel or 1 talent or 1 bag of money. He goes, okay, this person, you're getting 5. Here you go. Here's 5. Next person, hey, you're getting 2. And you notice that in this system, he doesn't go to each person and go, okay, you know what's going to be fair? Is you get 2, you get 2, you get 2. How's that make you feel, buddy? Is that good, right? Like, no, he steps back and he goes, hey, I know you. I know the situation you're walking in. I know your everything that's going on inside of your mind, and I know what's going to be best for you and your season, and even bigger than that, for my glory. And I'm going to resource you for the task and the responsibility that you have at hand. And he says, hey, he doesn't go and say, hey, what? You're better than this person. You're better than this person, so you get 5, you get 2. But a lot of times in our society, I believe even in the Western culture, we look at those who have more and think that we're less because we have less than someone else. And even for me, I look and go, oh, I wish, can I just have what they have, right? Like, can I have that? I see that coming through. I see those resources. I see what's happening in their life. And I look and you begin to see and realize, like, is this the way that God has intended us to live? I've heard Craig Rochelle says it this way. It's a pretty powerful verse. I make this a part of my life. But he says, the fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. Is to look at our assignment that God has given us and then look over at somebody else and go, look what they have. I'm not even accomplishing much. And I've heard some people even say when we do compare, we can compare their work ethic, try to learn leadership, try to learn theology from them. But at the end of the day, it is God who gives those gifts. It is God who promotes. It is God who moves us forward. And so you and I have the freedom to live in obedience and believe that God will bring those when the time is right. And he's saying, God, I trust you in this process that I don't have to live in the comparison trap of I want what they want. I need to be here at this moment, at this time, but God, I trust you in this journey of where you would have me in this moment, because he's saying, I want you to trust me, because one person gets 2, right? One person gets 5. One person gets 1. And then this is where the responsibility comes. All of this, up until this point, God has already given, right? God is saying, hey, I'm giving this by grace. I'm giving this freely to you in this moment. Now, he begins to teach, and he says that there is some responsibility, because he's saying, I love you enough to resource you for your journey. How incredible is that? To understand that God is saying, I love you, I believe in you, and in fact, I'm going to resource you for this journey. And now that we have those, and sometimes we think of just monetary, of money, right? Like, hey, I got more money, but God has resources with gifts. God has resources with talents. One of our bridge codes here at the Bridge Church is that we glorify God with our time, our talents, and our resources. God has gifted us with time, with talents, and also resources. But there is a gift that God has given us inside of us that he's saying, hey, I want you to live it out and to walk in that process. And so he continues here. If you're taking notes, there's a quick one-liner here. It says, I am called to steward what I have been given by God. I am called to steward what I have been given by God. And then he goes on to teach here in verse 16. He says, he who had received 5 talents went out at once. I love that. Went out at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had 2 talents made 2 more, but he who had received 1 talent went out and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And also, he who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me into 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested your money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has, all will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into the place where the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is teaching, and he's saying the end of times, and when we come back, I've gifted each and every one of my people with time, with talent and resources. And Jesus gives us a picture of 3 different servants, 3 different people. And he says, the one with 5, I took it, and at once I was like, yes, look what God has given me. I'm going to go invest it. And when my master comes back, right? When Jesus comes back, he went back and said, hey, this is what I have done. I have doubled it almost. I have worked, I've tilled, I've trusted you with what you have given me to live out what you have given me. And here's what I have in return. The same thing with the second one, right? The second one comes and he says, hey, you've given me 2. It's not 5. I'm not looking to go on it and sit and complain and go, ah, they got 5. I only got 2, right? He didn't compare. He said, okay, I got what I have. It's time to go. And he begins to use it for God's glory. And he comes back and he brings it. And God has the same exact response. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And then he gets to the one with 1 talent. And it shifts. And the 1 talent says, you know what? I know you're a hard man. And I was afraid to lose what you have given me. And so I got my shovel, I ran to the field, and I went to work. I dug, and I dug, and I dug, and I threw it in the hole, and I covered it up, and I sat on it. So when you came back, I would dig it all back up. I'd dig it all back up, and I would bring it to you, and I would at least still have what you have given me. And then Jesus, right? He doesn't beat around the bush right here. He doesn't hold back. He says, you wicked and slothful servant. He says, you didn't take what I've given you, invested in it. And the reason, the motivation behind that is because he was afraid of what his master was going to do. And anytime, I believe this is so powerful. And this is what actually spoke to me. I was reading in a book and I read this parable. We're in this series, Love Does. And I read that part right there. And I said, wow. What a powerful picture of love. And when you and I miss the picture that God loves us and is there for us, it paralyzes all of our love action. Because even if we are a child of God and he gives us resources, but yet we still view God and say, God, I am afraid. I can't do it. I don't know what's going to happen. This is mine, right? Like, I don't know if I will get any more. I don't know if I can make this even happen, God. And I'm just going to sit on it so you can have it back. God is going, no. I don't want you to live in fear, because perfect love drives out what? Fear. God is saying, I want you to experience my love, because I have given it to you And he's saying, I could give you more, or I can take away. I want you to trust me so much that when I give you something, you say, God, how do you want me to use it for your glory? Because God wants us to be a river, not a lake. Allow what our time, talents, and resources to flow through us. For love does for the people around us, so that when we come before God, we bring it to him and say, God, look, I may not have done it all right. I don't even know if I invested in the right, like, in the right area, but God, I believe that you would give me more if I needed it. I believe that I was going to walk in my talents, walk in my resources, walk in the trust that you have given me. But God, I brought this to you. And he looks and he goes, oh, I believe he looks and he would smile and go, oh, child, you believed in me. I told you to take this and make the most of it. And you did it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It's so reassuring, even in this moment, that he doesn't say, well done, good and fruitful servant, which I believe we'll see fruit when we live for Christ. But God is saying, hey, I want your heart to be faithful to me. And if you will be faithful to me, and your success equals obedience. And when you walk in the power and trust God with what he has given us and not live in fear, but live in faith. God is saying, choose faith over fear. God, I know you've given me this gift, given me this talent. I'm not going to be fearful of stepping out with this or stepping out in this resources, or maybe giving of my time, giving of my resources for the very first time. God, I'm going to trust you with it, because if you're like me, I can look at my week and go, okay, there's absolutely no more time. I am pushed to the max. Have you ever felt like that? There's no more margin in this. I don't even know if I can do it. One of my favorite, you ever get lost on Facebook watching videos? Maybe, okay, yeah. I'm just kidding. I just pray all the time. I read. But you're on Facebook. One of my favorite videos to watch is when you get a professional singer. I think the one I watched was like Kelly Clarkson. But she goes and dresses up to where you can't tell who she is. And she goes into like the New York subway. And they start playing a song and she starts singing. But nobody knows who she is. But as soon as she starts singing, people are walking and they're just like, right? Like, they're just like, whoa, what's going on here? And they're getting their phones out and they're recording this person. They can't even see their face. She's wearing a hat, a big old thing, but you know, she can sing. Like, her pipes are just, I can't even do it. But like, she is singing. She is going to town. She has this gift, right? And it don't matter if they know who she is or not, but people recognize and realize that gift. And I can look at something like that and go, God, why don't I have that, right? Like, if I could have, you know what we could do? I could sing some worship songs. We go into every subway station we can, but God didn't give me that gift. He's saying, hey, I've given you a different gift. I've wired you this way, even at the capacity and the grace that you can sustain in this life. Because sometimes we may not be graced or gifted to run at the same level. Because if we were to get to that level, it may be our family that gets run over. It may be us. We don't know what happens at the end, but God knows where we are in that moment. And he's saying, I want you to trust me with that. And I could step back and go, God, I don't have a gift like that, so I don't need to do it. I'm not really good with my words, so I'm not sure I need to share that with that person. I'm not as good as that one person when they sit down in a circle with those kids and they're just bringing them all together. I don't know if I could be that same way, God, so I'm just going to kind of wait and sit back, right? And all these questions of fear begin to creep up in our mind. God is saying, don't let your view of me be fear, but I want it to be a faith and to trust me with the resources I have given you, to walk in faith, to saying, you know what, God, you've given me this, whatever that the time during the week or the resource, God, if I give this up, I won't be able to do more of this. And God is saying, hey, if you will trust me and move some things around, I can do more with your 50% than you can on your own with 100%. He is saying, I can move and work in incredible ways if you'll trust my ways and walk in the process that you've called me to, and you and I, and when we get back to the end, can come before God and say, God, look, I believed in you. I trusted you. I know that you love me and that you can continue to give me whatever I need in this moment. So I lived it out, God. And this is what I've done. And God will stare down and say, well done, my good and faithful servant in this. It becomes a powerful way of thinking inside of our lives. And so I see this picture. And then we're going to get ready to close here in the next few minutes. But God calls us to invest what we have been given and not sit on what we have been given. God's called us to invest what we have been given, not sit on what we have been given. I love this verse in Matthew 6:9. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in to steal. He is saying, I want you to invest in my glory, invest in the kingdom that is at hand. And I believe that we can sit back and go, God, well, what do I do? Where do I start? I don't even know how I pick this up and carry it into my Monday, or carry it into my Tuesday, or carry this into my job or my workplace or at school. God, what does this look like? And this picture is so clear for us that God says, hey, I want you to take where you are and what you have and be faithful with that. He's saying, hey, I'm not asking the person with two talents or even one talent to go out and do what the person with five talents has, right? The capacity and the ability. He's saying, no, whatever I give you, I want you to be faithful with that. Because he says here, I'm going to find this verse real quick. You guys bear with me. You guys still with me? All right, very good. And it says, here it says, Master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. He's saying, I want to see you be faithful over little so that I know and I can trust you with much. And so if we step back and say, okay, God, what do I do have? What have you given me? What talents, what gifts, what resources? What abilities, God, have you given me? Maybe even take like a personal inventory of saying, hey, okay, I noticed that people respond when I do this. When I act in a gift of hospitality, people are just blown away at how I can live that out. Or hey, it just seems like every time I go to the store, I start talking about church or Jesus. I may have the gift of evangelism or God, there's something when I work with kids, this just always comes, I always see fruit. I always see you move in this. It could be, hey, every time I sing in my living room, my entire family's going, wow, you can sing, right? Like, this is incredible. And we begin to take a self-inventory. Maybe even look at, and this message is more intended of overarching love, but it could even be, hey, God, I don't have everything I have now, but I do have some resources. And what does that look like? To be faithful with what we have and to start where we are. That's God is saying, that's all I want you to do. I think of so many stories in the Bible. When David was called to be king, God didn't go, whoosh, boom, you're on the throne. No, he was in the field. And when the bear came and tried to take his sheep, he slayed the bear. And when the lion came to try to take his sheep, he slayed the lion. And those faith steps came. And when he stood before Goliath, what did he do? He looked back at what God had done in the smaller things, right? He said, I've already slain a bear and a lion. What are you going to do? I've already seen God move in the small. So I know that this big mountain in front of me is getting ready to move because I've already seen God move in the little faith steps that I've taken in my life. And so he's prepared my heart for this. Yeah, he's walked me through this process. But it always goes back and saying, I have to start where I'm at. If there's 5,000 people come to Jesus and they're so hungry for his word and they're getting ready to go away and his disciples run up to them in fear and go, God, we don't have enough. They're all hungry. They're going to leave. Some may even pass out. And Jesus goes, feed them. And the disciples are like, I'm doing the math, God. This ain't going to work out. Like, this is not right. And this servant walks up to Jesus and goes, all I have is this lunch of a few fish, a few loaves of bread. This is all I have, Jesus. And Jesus goes, that's all I ask of you. Bring me what you have. Be faithful with what you have. And then I'll do what only I can do. And that is stir hearts. And that is move and taking what you have and using it for my glory. And that's when we see God move, because we're not acting in fear of that little boy could have said, no, there's 5,000 people. They're going to attack me for my food. This is mine. I'm going to sit on it, right? But he goes, you know what? If God has given it to me before, he'll be faithful again. So God, I'm going to trust you with my time this week. I'm going to open up your word and work on my heart first. There ain't enough time in the schedule, God, but I'm trusting you that if I do this, I'm going to be faithful in the little. Or maybe, God, you've been kind of stirring my heart about this gift of that you want me to step up and begin to try to learn what this gift is and how to develop it in the church. And God, I'm just going to start. I'm going to join the team that think is maybe as closest to that. And when I do that, God will start to stir and to bring more clarity. Or maybe you're in the spot. Today we have a Discover meet and greet where we introduce spiritual gifts, where we introduce what it looks like to discover the way that God's wired you to be and how you can live that out with the local body in the church. Because maybe for you, just starting is, hey, I need to start discovering. I need to start praying into that for God to speak into my life and into my heart, because he's given me this and I can't just sit on it. Because if I wanted to be a pastor who tickled ears and preached things, you know, and just sat on the Goliath and God's going to be faithful, he's going to come through and listen, all you got to do is show up, right? Like, that'll preach good. But I got to be faithful to the word. God says if we just sit on it, he uses strong language. He says, slothful and wicked servant. And I look at that and God, I don't want that for any one of your servants. I don't want that for myself or my family. But like a good coach, football just kicked off right here. But like a good coach, he doesn't want you just to join the team and to be satisfied sitting on the sidelines. God is going, no, you join the team. This is just the beginning. If you will trust me with the gifts and talents that I have given you and you jump into the game, that's when you experience God moving through you. He is saying, yes, your identity has changed and you live in freedom. You live in hope. He's saying, hey, now it's get in the game and let love flow through you. Let love does in this moment. And when we do that, we experience God working inside of our lives and inside of our heart, and I guarantee you we look back and go, okay, God, I see what you were talking about this whole time. I see this in your word, and I experience your peace in this, because it's hard to compare what other people have been given when we are focused on Jesus and the work that he has given us, right? It's hard to look up and go, oh. But when we sit back and we're just sitting, right, it's easy to go, oh, look what they got. Look what you've given them, God. Look, but instead, God places it in our hands. He says, yes, I've called you to it. I'll get you through it. And so I'd love to challenge each and every person this morning and just begin to think. Just this one moment, start where you are with what you have. Start where you are with what you have. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't speak that revelation into your life and heart, because each and every one of us are at a different stage and a different process of what God may be speaking to us about. But I believe that if we pray into that, if we open up God's word, he will begin to reveal those steps to us. And he wants us to be faithful. You may say, that's kind of crazy. That's just a little thing. That's just a small thing. God's going, no, no, no. I want you to be faithful in the little. And as you are faithful in the little, then you'll be faithful in the much. As you are faithful in the little, where you are with what you have, then I know you'll be faithful with the much. And as you take those steps, God will continue to move in incredible ways as he can trust us with our heart in those moments. And so my prayer is that you and I will step back and go, okay, God, this life is yours. I love you. I'm not in fear of what you may do if I take the wrong step, God, but I trust you in faith. God, maybe you want to pray and say, God, reveal to me what my next step is. Reveal to me maybe what I'm sitting on. And I want to invest it into your kingdom, into your glory, whatever that may look like for us. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word and your power. Thank you for speaking life into us. God, and I know from my own personal life, I thank you for what you have given me, God. And every time I've just sat on it in my life, God, I'm sorry. And I didn't trust you with that moment of taking those steps, God. But I thank you for moving in spite of that. I thank you for giving me faith to take those steps forward. And thank you for allowing me to see your glory at work, God. And I just want to pray this morning, God, over each and every person in this room. The words that you spoke through your servants in the Bible in 2 Timothy 1:7. God, we pray that you have not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline, God, and of sound mind. Give us the roadmap, God, that you've called us to, and help us to trust in faith to move forward in your grace and in your truth, God. And I pray that we trust you with everything that we have, God, because we believe that you are a good God, and you will walk through us through the trials, through the temptations, through the hurt, through the sorrow, God, and that you will grant us peace when we need peace. You will be our counselor when we need to be counseled, God, that you will give us power when we need power. You will give us an abundance of grace and love when we need that in that moment. And I pray we will not sit on anything, God, but use us as a river for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at thebridgebluffton.com.